Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan. Appreciate you guys being here, being in the chat, being active. Really, I mean, can't do it without you, obviously. Thanks for being here. Love talking Padres baseball with you every single day. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Top of the morning to you.
To my left is Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it without the tier ones. They're what makes me want to get up in the morning and come in and do this show. But there are a lot of people out there who host, like, podcasts that don't have any audience, but they do it anyway.
Yeah, it's like
the gratification of...
It's like
talking and recording yourself talking for a period of time.
Yeah, maybe that's just the artistic expression.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know that people, that famous painters, I think they painted for them.
Right.
And I think that sometimes musicians, they write songs for them.
Maybe some of these podcasts, after they die, will become very valuable.
Yes.
And they'll become very famous posthumously.
Well, yeah, after, oh man, this guy, I wish he could have seen this success. While he was here in his basement.
But now his podcast is the biggest thing in the world now that he's gone.
I don't think that happens with podcasts.
It doesn't seem to. Not like impressionist art. It's different.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's been radio shows that have come and gone. There's even in this town, there's been a couple radio stations come in. You're like, this got some promise. There's some promise here. And then it goes away quickly after a year or something. But I don't find myself going back and revisiting those and be like, yeah, those they really missed on this one. They should have given this one another year or two to get off the ground. But I just don't think it happens in audio. It does happen with music a lot, actually. That happens quite a bit. You're like, man, I really should have gotten into that guy or girl when they were alive.
Somebody passes away in their albums. Just yeah, you know, the top of the charts.
Through the roof.
Talk, though, is a very immediate...
Yeah, you want it right there.
Medium.
Yep.
Like, you go back and listen to an old Ben and Woods show, there might be some good moments, you know, throwback stuff, but for the most part, a show from 3 years ago is going to feel kind of dated.
Slightly. Slightly.
Yeah. Well, the 2021 collapse for the Padres continues here.
What is Brandon Drury doing, man? I just don't understand. But no, I have a gift for you guys. I wanted I brought it in this morning, and it was an interesting scenario that happened to me yesterday. So
I like gifts.
Yeah, you guys like gifts. Got one of my neighbors, Brian Geffen, really, really good dude, does screen printing. And we were talking yesterday on the show about ass. Adam Scott Suarez. Oh. Now, we had another podcast, I think it was the Podfathers, that said, Woodsy, I got ass shirts for you guys. And I said, you bring all the ass that you bring it, and I'll handle it. Don't worry about it. I can handle it. I'll handle the ass.
Ass to the rescue.
Ass to the rescue. Back that ass up. Whatever pun you want to use. So they got something coming for us, too. But Brian texted me. He goes, I got ass shirts for you guys. He goes, they'll be done by the time you get off work. So I get home from the gym, I go home and I like lay down for a minute, and he's like, bro, they're at your front door. So I walk outside, and there's this huge stack of ass shirts sitting on my front porch.
For anyone who doesn't know, that's the acronym.
I said it already.
Adam Scott and Suarez.
This is
I just
bad.
Want to be clear.
And
that's nice.
And he put our Ben and Woods logo on the back. So here's the back, the Ben and Woods, and then the front is ass.
Oh, that is epic.
Isn't that incredible? I'm holding it up to the
Heroes of the Night.
Heroes of the Night. Isn't that from our song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Heroes of the Night. There's one for you.
Thank you. Can I get two?
Oh, you want two?
Yeah. Well,
how much ass can you handle?
So
Jesus,
I was at work yesterday, and I'm in the studio, and I have my IFB on, and Ryan, who's
what
in
is
the
an IFB?
IFB, internal feedback. It's okay. My earpiece.
Speak
so I can...
Yeah.
I can talk to the control room.
That's a 2X.
And Ryan in the control room says, are you on, you're on the radio like every morning, right?
Yep.
And I
yeah,
go, every day. And it says, so was that you guys who played the novelty song about the Padres' ass bullpen? And I said, yeah, that was us this morning. He goes, oh, I had a friend who called me and he wants a copy of the song.
Can I get six of them?
And he wants a he wants a shirt. He said, I want a shirt. I said, they're coming. I know people are making these shirts, so I will bring this in to him, and he'll have. He requested one last night. I also need to get this and email it to him as well. This is apparently going to be the signature hit for the 2024 Padres.
Yeah. Just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Yeah, this is going to be like necklace part two now. I'm going to be taking t-shirt orders for Brian later. Brian, I think he's listening.
Thank you.
He said these are basically, I whipped these up for you guys quickly. All right. So they're the guys that actually, they would print all the Padres World Series shirts if they got there, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Official stuff.
They do custom screen printing. He asks, does the station do all our merch?
Oh, no.
Hysterical. No, we have a third party that does it, but I love how these came out. These are great. And how many did you need?
Two is good.
You have
thank
two.
You.
I've got one.
I'll give one back if you're...
No, I mean, give it to him. We got two left. We got an XL and an L. I'll put it in the... here's what we'll do. We'll throw it in the Ben and Woods locker, because we do have our own locker here. And then when we do an appearance, I'll bring these out and we'll give them away. I got an XL and an L. I'm not driving to your house. I'm not shipping it to you. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. I'm not going to, so quit asking.
The problem is...
I'm not going to, asking.
They may be a limited-time commodity, as Tanner Scott is a free agent at the end of the year.
Well, listen, you're one of these guys that's worrying about next year. Paul, you got me earlier off the air. I got people on my Twitter. Everyone's like, who's going to play short next year? I don't give a frog's fat ass about 2025. Not even a little. Like, I can't let my mind go anywhere to be like... Next year, I don't care. This is so fun. I'm so into it. This is great. This is part of enjoying the ride for me. I don't care about 2025 today on August
21st. It's fine that you don't care. 2025 should be a good season for the Padres of next year.
I don't want to talk about it.
But at the same time, there's no guarantee that any of this magic carries over.
No question.
To next year. You got to take advantage of the magic when you have it.
The iron is hot. It's time to
strike. The Padres clearly have some magic this year. Now, will it run out? There's been magical teams where
100%.
The magic runs out in October. And there are magical teams where the magic carries them all the way to a World Series title. Which are the Padres? We don't know yet.
We'll see.
But my recommendation would be, don't waste the magic while you have it. You may have a more talented team next year than this year. Yeah. They may not perform as well.
We know that to be true. We've seen it all, man.
You've got to come through in clutch situations, and no one really has been doing that better than the Padres this season, as illustrated again by last night's double come from behind 7-5 win over the Minnesota Twins.
It's been a staggering season. So forgive me. If I don't get super in the weeds on Tanner Scott coming back or Luis Arraez, what are we going to do with him? Or even contract extensions for Profar, Merrill, King, Cease. I'm so into this right now. I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm just telling you exactly how I feel. I cannot worry about 25 is promised to none of us. None of us. Tomorrow is promised to none of us. I want to win tonight's game. And I like that that's kind of their mentality too, of like Adam Jones just talked about. like, yeah, man, you see, you know, you're three games back or whatever. You know what the Phillies' record is, of course. But it's not something that's going to keep you up at night. You know, kind of like the Rookie of the Year award for Jack Merrill. It's not going to keep him up at night. If he wins it, great. But I don't think he's going to expend much energy worrying about it.
If you're A.J. Preller, though, there are certain things you already have to be thinking about.
I'm not him.
You're not.
So I don't have to worry at all. Not even a little.
Morning, guys.
Do you offer Jurickson Profar a contract extension now, or do you wait until the offseason?
I don't know. I don't care.
Well, but...
I don't care.
He just spent 5 minutes telling us he does not care about
it. I know you don't care. I'm begging you not to talk about it.
But what... So if Jurickson signs
a
contract, who's the Mount Rushmore of contracts?
If Jurickson signed a contract extension today, you wouldn't want to talk about it.
No, if he signed one today, sure. But
should they be talking about it today? Why is that not then a topic? It certainly could be something they're discussing.
Well, I mean, a lot of things could be happening.
Should be discussing.
I have no idea. Somebody says you're trolling me. I think you are trolling me.
I'm not trolling you. It's an absolute legitimate concern, not just AJ Preller, but for Padres fans as well.
I've just walked back part of my statement. Orthodox Evans nailed it and says, all I care about next year is that Bud Black retires. 1,000, that is the only, two
and
things.
And Dave Manager's lifetime extension.
And Dave Roberts gets a lifetime extension, and Skip Schumacher is not the Dodgers manager next year. Those are the only three things I think about and care about, and they're all manager related. I think you're gaslighting me right now.
No, there's a lot of stuff that you just have no idea. I mean, we've talked about Roky Sasaki. There was a report a few days ago.
Yeah, that I saw.
He may not come over to Major League Baseball. He's having an okay season.
So they said,
it's like a 2 ERA.
He's like 6-2 with a 2.55. He's like, I am not having a good year. I don't know if this is the best. The thing is him coming over here is not dependent on, it's not like if he has a great year, he's going to get more money. He's going to get the same money. So, I mean, he's not playing for a contract per se, but in his mind, he's like, I'm not at my best.
Which is weird, because the earlier he gets here, if he's coming early, might as well come as early as possible, because then you're committing to 6 years before you can be a free agent.
100%.
But, and I get it. A lot of this, and I don't think we need to do any idle speculation about 2025, but again, there are legitimate issues with guys who are going to be free agents at the end of this year that you could be talking about locking up right now.
And there is
like Jurickson Profar.
There is a better than 50% chance that they absolutely are. That AJ Preller is probably in a room with a couple of his guys kicking it around and going, what's it look like? You know, what does it look like? Jurickson does not have Scott Boras anymore, so that's a check mark in favor of the Padres and AJ Preller. But I'm so into every night's game. I know in this business it's our job to kick things around and prognosticate and forecast, but I don't have a crystal ball. I'm enjoying 24 so much more, Ben, than I thought I would. So much more than I thought I would. It's been the most fun I've had covering this team, and that includes a run to the NLCS. That was so special and magical. Last year really sullied a lot of that those good vibes.
There was a lot of frustration.
There was a lot of frustration.
Even in 2022. Until the end, until they beat the Mets and the Dodgers. It was
until the Brewers lost and we got into the playoffs that day. But we lost.
Yeah.
And the Brewers lost, and Padres lose again. Like,
backed in.
By the way, the San Diego Padres have just clinched the playoffs. Oh, super
popping
cool.
Champagne corks after a loss.
Yeah, it was like.
And then they lost.
And then they lost.
And they still pop champagne corks.
I was down on the field after that game.
Yeah.
It was very awkward.
It's a weird one.
Like,
it's
the guys
one.
Came back out on the field and. Like half hugging, and a couple guys like ran to get their playoff T-shirts
sure,
and hats.
Yeah.
Other guys were like, "We lost." Yeah. Like, I'll grab mine later. It was
so
very
good.
Weird. It was super uncomfortable.
It's so good, man. I'll tell you though, you're right. If today AJ Preller said, "We have a news conference at 3:00," and the news was we've extended Jurickson Profar for 3 years at $60 million or whatever it is, $25 million, $40
million. I have no idea what he's going to cost.
I mean, what is he worth right now? He's worth $30 million a year.
Is anyone going to pay him that?
No, he's playing for one. So,
God, that's a tough spot to be in.
It's a tough spot to be in. But Jurickson doesn't care. Why would I care? You know, all that dude wants to do is win tonight's game. And so that's just kind of where my headspace is. I'm not in the position of having really to worry about 2025 when 2024 has just been such a delight. They're just a delightful team to watch, man. And even last night, man, had they lost by one, bro, it still was an excellent baseball game with Bailey Ober pitching really. I can appreciate a guy going out and pitching his ass off, pitching his heart out, getting, you know, good defensive plays, blah, blah, blah. I can appreciate that. You're not going to win every single game from here on out. You're just not. That I would bet my life on. They're not going to run the table for the next 5 weeks. But you can't watch this team and not say this is there's something special here. It's very, very special this year. So I'm just trying to stay in that moment.
We saw so many games last year where it felt like the Padres outplayed their opponent, hit them, had so many opportunities, and then went 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position and lost by one. This year, it's nice to see a game that goes the other way. The Twins had more opportunities yesterday.
It's nice to see 30 games that go that way.
And the Padres have... They also are a good team that has played well.
Yes.
But yesterday was one of those games where they were probably outplayed a little bit, but they came through with the big hits the right moments.
Oh, so awesome,
and
man.
Stole one away on a game that they weren't favored to win. They were Bailey Ober's, you know, one or two pitcher for the Twins. Martin Perez is the five pitcher for the Padres. That's a game where you're an underdog. Vegas made them underdogs in that game, and they found a way to win it anyway.
You told me not to take the Padres.
I did
last night.
I warned you, at least cautioned you.
I took them. I was very happy.
There you go.
Very, very happy.
All right. So yesterday we had Jesse on and gave him a Prince-themed incorporator for television, though. Very different than radio incorporator. In radio, it's Jesse's show. But in television, it's everybody's show. How do you work in Prince song lyrics to the broadcast? Did anyone catch it last night live? Came in a very big inning of the game.
I was very giddy when I heard it. Very giddy.
We will pay that off for you coming up next.
Like four innings.
I was waiting.
Is this it? Damn.
Coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, I love it.
Prince?
Oh, I love it. I love that song so much. For those in the chat, it's Let's Go Crazy.
Now, was Prince a sports fan?
Oh, yeah.
He backed the Minnesota Twins and the Vikings pretty strongly.
And an athlete. An athlete. Like a really, really good basketball player. That dude knew hoops inside and out. And the Charlie Murphy story is absolutely real. I heard him on Stern telling it again. Like, nah, man. They said, did Prince really beat you at basketball? He goes, basketball is a team game. But yes, my team did lose 4-on-4 to Prince's team. It wasn't a 1-on-1. But it is true. He did it in high heels, like big ass, chunky pumps. And he would go up and play basketball in like big purple, chunky pumps.
Because he still had to have style.
Yeah. I mean, he was a legend. A legend. And there's this Stern special they just did, like a storytellers. They had 20 different people in there telling about the time that they met Prince. And it is riveting radio.
Speaking of rocking the shoes, Pauly was just telling us about Mike Schilt's new shoes yesterday.
Yeah, I just saw that.
He was unaware of how cool his shoes actually were. They were a gift from Manny Machado.
Yeah, it's so good.
What specifically? They were Travis Scott, Nike Jumpman.
Yeah, I saw...
Really sharp-looking shoes.
Yeah, Julian Delgadio posted a couple of pictures of Schilt wearing some Jordans yesterday, and he says, I complimented Mike Schilt on his Jordan Jumpman Cactus Jack TR sales by Travis Scott. Those are... very expensive Jordans, the Travis Scott Jordan collab.
Manny probably gets a discount.
Yeah.
Probably. They're already expensive to buy, and then the resale is insane on those. Like, if you are lucky enough to get one on a lottery drop or whatever, it's like, just go ahead and flip them. It's worth it.
Not once you've worn them, though, Mike.
Right, you don't wear them.
Yeah, you don't wear them.
And then Julian
says...
He's
like, I could have made $1,000 on these.
Julian says, Schilt said they were a gift from Manny, and he had no idea who Travis Scott was.
I love it so much. That's our manager, man. He's not worried about anything. He's like, they're comfortable. Let's put them on.
Well, the reason we played Prince, though, is that it was a Prince-themed incorporator. We've been doing song lyric incorporators for Jesse the last few weeks as the shoes go up in our chat. And yesterday, Jesse joined us and said, yeah, even though he's going to be on television with Tony instead of radio, he's ready to accept the challenge of another song lyric incorporator. So with the Minnesota Twins in town, we chose Prince, and here's what we had for Jesse. All right, so we've been picking something to do with the opponent and where they're from, and with Minnesota, it was pretty obvious where we were going with this week's song lyrics. So here you go, the incorporator for Jesse tonight.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. What a jam.
Prince, let's go crazy. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
What an epic song. So good.
So we had to wait for this one a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, we were watching on television.
I thought he'd open the broadcast with it.
Could come anywhere.
I mean, I thought that what a great way to open the whole broadcast. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life and San Diego Padres baseball.
Wouldn't have been a bad
super,
way to do it.
Super easy.
Now he waited all the way until the seventh inning. Padres down 3-1. Jake Cronenworth, I believe, was sitting on second base after a bloop double. Manny Machado was about to step to the plate, and the Twins had called their pitching coach out to discuss things with Bailey Ober before said at-bat, which turned out to be, if you might remember, a fairly pivotal at-bat of last night's game. Here was Jesse Agler with Tony Gwynn on Padres.tv.
Pitching coach Pete Mackey on his way out there. Here's the thing, speaking of the Twins and history and stuff, that I did not know, and I think this goes back to their World Series year of 1987. You think Minneapolis, St. Paul, of course, you think about Prince. And so every time the Twins pitching coach goes out to the mound, just to loosen the group up at the beginning of the conversation, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. And then he goes into. Now, I just made that up, but it would be pretty cool.
See, having been your radio partner, I knew you made that up.
He just had to lie his way into the incorporator.
Well, so he obviously does the incorporator. Manny comes up, hits the tank. As soon as he did it, I texted him. I said, LMAO. And Jesse Agler wrote back, upside down smiley face. And I said, what timing after the home run? He said, we needed the karma. And I said, the purple one never disappoints. Then he went silent. Then they won the game and he wrote, never. And I said, man, it was epic. It was just an incredible, incredible win. And one of my favorite incorporators because the timing of it was spectacular. Knocks it out of the park and then Manny knocks it out of the park.
I never know if he plans, like if that was how he had it planned the whole time or if he has a couple of different possible ways. Depending on how the game goes. But he texted me in the afternoon yesterday. He said, hey, what was the lyric exactly again? Yep. I sent it over. He says, thanks. And he wrote, I might go pretty extreme today.
Ooh, I like that.
And I was like, well, I'm all in. I don't
think
know if that was
outright
that.
Lying is fairly extreme. So.
I think it would have been funny if he had not said, I just made that up. Yeah. I just let it roll. And then people are like, wow, they really used to do that? Then somebody goes and asks one of the guys, or did they really used to do this?
No.
No, they didn't.
I mean, pitching coaches only get 30 seconds. I don't know they want to waste it with
dearly beloved. We are gathered
here today to get through this thing called life. 24 seconds left.
Electric word life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld, a world of never-ending happiness. A world where I blew it.
So call up that shrink in Beverly Hills.
You know the one, Dr. Everything Feel Alright. Dr. Everything Will Be Alright. Instead of asking him how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind. Because in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. In this life, you're on your own.
Dun, dun, dun,
pretty
dun.
Close.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, we've got Brett Boone on a Big Boone. League Wednesday. Booney going to join us when we come back. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Doesn't feel like the dog days of August for the San Diego Padres.
Really does.
Maybe other teams. I know that's a real phenomenon. But I'm into every game. It's almost like it feels like a playoff game almost every night.
It really does. And you know who else it doesn't look like it's the dog days for? The San Diego Padres. I mean, these dudes are having as much fun as they've had all season long. And obviously winning a lot of games certainly helps that. But these dudes are just real, and that's all they talk about.
I'd be curious how much of the fun, the vibes, I feel like it's a lot attributed to Jackson Merrill.
Sure, a lot.
Like, almost exclusively. Like, I know Profar was the vibes guy, and we kind of made jokes about that over the offseason. Like, hey, bring him in for the vibes. But Jackson Merrill is playing like an MVP, but he's also playing like a rookie.
Yeah.
He's having the most fun of his entire life. He's an absolute dog. We talked about how he shows up to the ballpark at 11 a.m. for 7 o'clock games or whatever. Like, he is having so much fun, and I just feel like it is completely infectious throughout the entire clubhouse.
Absolutely.
I think it's also the crowds and the fans that make it feel special. I mean, last night was, I think they said it was the smallest crowd in 2 months. 39,000.
Good Lord.
Just under 40,000. But the atmosphere felt like a playoff. It was a loud, enthusiastic crowd. That's got to help players. We'll talk to Brett Boney standing by on League Wednesday about the dog days and what helps you get through it. Coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. We're joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. And we say good morning to Boone. Brett, how have you been this past week?
Good. And who else would it be with that epic
Rock
Crazy Town song?
Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It warms my heart every Wednesday.
That gets me excited, too, Boone. We were just talking about the dog days. I'm sure you heard us when we came back from break. It doesn't feel like August 21st, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams right now that are, whoo, boy, they are counting the days until the season is over. It's been a rough one for a lot of teams. But this one, I mean, these guys look as fresh and energized and energetic and having as much fun as they have all season long. It's been incredible.
Well, when you go on, you know, there's dog days and then there's dog days. These days there's less dog days for teams because there's more playoff spots. So you still got guys grinding. Whereas in past years, a lot of these teams are out of it. Dog days start at the All-Star game. But these Padres, unbelievable. I think, what are they, 22 out of the last 27? Comebacks like last night. You know, I kind of turned the TV off, and then I got to check, and I'll check back in. I'm going, wait a minute, Machado hit a home run. It's tied.
Oh, you turned it off.
I turned it off. Well, I'm flipping. I got a big bandwidth, Woodsy. So I'm watching a lot of different things, and I thought, oh, you know, tonight over, he's pitching pretty good. They're probably not going to win. All of a sudden, it's 3-3.
Yeah, man.
And then it's just Profar with, and then I turn back in, it's 5-3, and then it's 6-5, and I'm like, what happened? I see Profar at the end getting interviewed. I said, they won? So I went back through it, but did it really surprise? I've seen teams go on this run right now. I've been looking at the landscape. I mean, I think it's awesome. You know, I've talked about before how as a player, I don't really like it because I think the playoff system's a little watered down and people could put playoffs on their resume, whereas in past years, it was a lot harder to get there.
Yep.
That being said, this side of the ledger, watching this, being an analyst, it's good entertainment. And I think it's great what the Padres are going through right now. There's so many teams that could possibly win. And I think at this stage, in 2024, if you can sit there and say, well, these are the clear-cut teams that are going to win the World Series, you're crazy.
Yeah, you're nuts.
Because you can't. You know, if you're going to – I'll tell you what, today, if the playoffs start tomorrow, I'll take my chances with this Padre team.
Same.
The way they've been playing and the way that bullpen has really been shored up with the acquisitions at the trade deadline. I'll take them against anybody in baseball. But if you're looking at a big picture, there's eight teams, really, that could win. I mean, could you say the Dodgers can't? Milwaukee, Philly, Minnesota, Houston, the way they've just emerged from, you know, everybody thought they were dead and buried, Baltimore, Yankees. I mean, there's so many teams that can win. I think this postseason we're in for a real, real treat from an entertainment value. And it's pretty cool to watch this Padre team and what they're doing and the run they're making right now. I mean, 2 months ago, I think another assessment is, well, the Padres are going to be, they're a playoff team, right? But they're not going to contend for this division. They're right in the middle of this thing. I mean, this thing could come down to the wire, and they could win this division. Everybody thought the Dodgers were going to run away and hide. They've had problems of their own, you know, as far as staying healthy. So this division's open. And Arizona, how good are they playing as well? They're right there out of nowhere. So it's really fun. This National League West is shaping up, I think, to be the best division in baseball, and the Padres right now are playing like the best team in baseball.
Brett, for you as a player, how much difference did it make playing in front of 12,000 versus 40,000 in a game? And did it make a difference if it was a home crowd, or did you get just as geared up if you were on the road and there were 40,000 fans cheering against you?
Well, there's nothing better than a packed house at home. I mean, that's the ultimate, because pretty much everybody's pulling for you. But I'd get just as geeked going to Yankee Stadium in a sellout crowd and everybody yelling at me and hating me. That was just as you know, that adrenaline was just as good. But yeah, you'll always take that home crowd. Over the course of a season, 162 games, the crowds, you know, you go down to Tampa Bay or in the old Miami Stadium before they built the new one, and sometimes there's 8,000 people. Yeah, that is no fun. It doesn't get the adrenaline going. It's raining at BP, and it's going to be one of those hot nights. But you deal with it. You know, you learn in the big leagues. You're a pro, and you go about it, and you have a job to do it. You do it each and every day. And of course, you want those big electric crowds, night game. That's the ultimate. But you've got to deal with it. Nowadays, the crowds. There, you don't go from 40 to 12 too often. Usually, you know, there's 20,000 people in the crowd wherever you go. So, yeah, definitely the crowd adds to it, and I think the Padres are going to have no problem, especially down the stretch, having pretty darn good crowds. But these guys don't need it right now. I mean, I can just see the looks on their – they're having a good time, first and foremost. That's the most important thing. You're enjoying your teammates. You're having fun. It's you don't have to fake it. You know, we can see by your body language, by the look on your face, these guys are having fun, and they're not tired at all right now. Trust me. It's August 21st, and these guys feel like it's April 7th as far as how their bodies feel. When you're on a run like this, it's amazing how those aches and pains are a little less. And then if you go to I'll tell you what, that Chicago White Sox team, those little injuries feel like they need surgery. So that's the difference in having a real fun run and a good team to those real dog days when you're having, you know, you don't have a very good team and you're losing a lot of games. There's a big difference.
Talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. All right, Booney, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to name some names because Jerkson Profar, we've talked about it this morning. He is he's an irritant. The other team looks at him. They don't like the way he smiles and does the gritty when he hits a home run, celebrates. They don't like him.
MVP of the Padres.
Yeah, 100%, right? And so when you played, were there guys – who were some guys that you played against? You're like, this guy's driving me crazy. Like, I don't know him very well.
But if he was on our team.
If he was on our team, we'd love him. Boy. But, man, this guy's driving me nuts. And not that you don't like playing against and competing against him, but, like, somebody just kind of got under your skin like with the way they play.
Well, I found this. Early in my career, I hated everybody.
Yeah.
every opponent. You know, I was a young, snot-nosed, brash guy myself, and I couldn't stand the opponent, the way they looked, the way they walked, the way they talked. As time went on, and this might have been not a good thing, you know, you get established, and you're in the league for 10 or 12 years, and you kind of do off-season functions, and you go to events where you get to meet these guys.
Right.
95% of the time, I'd walk away like, damn it, I can't hate him anymore.
I did not want to like him.
Him from afar, you know? So I don't know if it weakened me as a player as I went on. I lost my edge. Like, I love just hating your guts and want to hit you in the face with a frying pan. I spent a little time with you. You know, I went to dinner with you. I had a beer with you. And you're actually a good guy. And it kind of, I wondered if it took away my, especially when it was a pitcher. You know, the pitchers are the ones you love to hate.
Of course.
And when I became buddies with a pitcher, I felt like I lost my edge. I'd come to the plate and, hey, that's my buddy and I really like him. But I got to beat his brains in right now. And did I lose my edge as a hitter? So, yeah, you have those guys, especially early in your career. But as you get to know guys, for the most part, and I know people hate hearing this, most of the guys out there are really good guys. They really are. They really are. There's not too many. There's a handful of guys that I played with or against that I wouldn't mind if I never heard or saw them again in the rest of my life. But for the rest of them, They're pretty good dudes.
Who flipped you though? Like, who's one that you can remember that flipped you? Where you're like, I hate this guy. I'm going to light him up.
And Clemens.
I wanted to kill him.
I wanted to kill him. There's Clemens. There's a good story. My first at bat in the big leagues against Clemens. I'm digging in. I'm scared to death, but I'm not letting you know. I'm a tough guy. I smoke a ball, spin his derby, right through the box, base hit. I steal second. I score. He's yelling at me the whole time. You rookie did it, swinging hard, and I'm yelling back at you, you big, you know. And I'm sitting there inside. I'm just, my heart's Clemens. My next at bat, he hits me in the head.
Oh my God.
Sounds like
now, he didn't hit me good. It was a glancing blow, but it was scary. And I'm sitting there going, I got to go get him. I've been in the big leagues like 4 days. I'm like, I got to go get him, but I can't go get him. I'm a rookie. You know, everything's going through your mind.
You're thinking a little Robin Ventura, Nolan Ryan. You don't want that to happen.
No, I wasn't worried. I think I would have fared better than Robin did. And I love Robin. But it wasn't the time or the place. Throughout my career, I held that. I just wanted to kill him. I finally took him deep in New York, and I mean a bomb. And I remember going to an All-Star game. And he was on the other side. I think, I don't know if I was in the National League, American League. He was in the National League, American League. We were on separate sides. And I got a request. He said, Roger sent over some items for his son. His son's an upcoming baseball player. He's a second baseman. You're one of his guys. And I just thought, well, the irony here. The irony. Now you want a taste. So I ended up not signing him. I held him there, and I waited till I saw him out on the field, and I said, of course I'll sign him for you, and kind of buried the hatchet at that point. It was just the competitiveness, but for years and years, man, I didn't get him till I was like a salty veteran. It took me like 10 years before I took him deep, but it was pretty satisfying. So I held that for a long time, but there's really no guys that I hated. I couldn't stand Bonds. But I respected him so much. Sure. When he stepped into the field, it's like, this guy's so much better than the rest of us. And what am I going to say to him? You know, he'd come out to second base and he'd give you the nonchalant, Booney, what's going on? And I'd be like, yeah, okay, Barry.
Hi,
but
Barry.
I'm like, this guy's the greatest player. It's like I'm talking to Jordan. What do you say? He backs up everything he says. And you know, so I really didn't have that hatred. And especially as life went on. And I got to know these guys. It's like, I really didn't hate them. You know, you'd look for that rookie to come up that had some swagger.
Yes.
You can go hate on him because you don't know him yet, you know. But for the most part, pretty good relationship with the guys. And doesn't mean I didn't want to kick their butt.
Sure.
You know, when they're playing against us, I want to go get you. I hated that Yankee team. They broke my heart on a couple occasions in the postseason. But what they accomplished and that group of guys, they were just pros. So it was tough to hate them. You know, you want to hate him, but it's like, man, you got to respect their body of work.
Now, you had the generational thing with Barry, obviously, coming from a baseball family like he did. So I assumed you could relate to him a little bit, at least on that level.
Well, we had three generations, Ben. He only had two.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm kidding. I remember we had words one time in Cincinnati, Bonds and me, you know, kind of a quippy back and forth. And his dad was a coach for the San Francisco Giants. My dad was the bench coach for Cincinnati.
No.
And I kind of made the remark to him, why don't you get your dad, I'll get my dad, and we'll go at it.
Let's go.
And that got Barry to kind of smile at me like, all right, we're really not being serious. I'm just giving you a hard time because I'm a better player than you, right, Brett? And I said, yeah, you are a better player than me. But he didn't really mean it. So, yeah, we had a little bit of that back and forth, but all in all, you know, Barry, you know how I feel about it. It's the greatest.
He's unreal.
Like
yeah, best I've ever seen. No question.
No.
Scariest guy ever in the play.
So no scary. Yeah.
Brett, appreciate it as always.
What'd you say?
What'd you say?
He's playing slow pitch softball. Rest of us are playing big league baseball.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly right.
Thanks, Booney. We'll talk to you next week.
That was awesome.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Odyssey Insider, Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I never thought about that. So if your dad was the coach on the other team and there was a benches clearing brawl, theoretically, you could have been out there brawling against your dad.
Yeah, theoretically.
In that game.
That's exactly right. Yeah, imagine
or in
that.
In that case, have a tag team.
Your dad against
Bonds and his dad.
Except they were on opposite teams. That would have been weird. It would have been one guy.
Wait, no.
He said Bonds' dad was coaching with the Giants.
And
yeah, when Brett was on They were both on the Reds. Got it.
Yeah, the tag team would be a good bit. But I gotta go Team Bonds there. No offense to Brett. They're two units right there. Barry and Bobby Bonds are two absolute units. Not that the
Boone.
Not that they're not. Yeah. But,
tough guy catcher,
100%.
Always tough.
Man. That's such a good story about Clemens. Such a good story. Swinging hard.
He said
by the way.
It was only a glancing blow. It's not like Roger said, I'm going to throw it at his head, but only a glancing blow.
Right. I'm just going to nick this guy.
Forget how much of a head. Lunatic Roger
Clemens. Lunatics. Oh. Love it. This is unreal.
All right. We got an hour to go still. More Padres talk, some Paul Reindl headlines coming up in the Reindl Report. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.